Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
How is everyone today? Thank you for being here. After that, I don't even know where to start. Good morning. I'm Alec Von Bargen, and welcome to As If Comedy Was Not a Serious Matter. And this is hosted by the Torino Film Lab and Museo Nazionale del Cinema, the National Museum of Cinema, and obviously the Venice Production Bridge. Thank you so much for having us. And I'll just give a quick introduction to these wonderful people I have to my left, so you know who you have in front of you. But this is Mercedes Fernandez Alonso. She's the managing director for the Torino Film Lab. Thomas Pibarro, who's the curator for this new comedy lab for the Torino Film Lab.
So-called curator.
So-called curator. We're going to find out today what curator actually means. And then Christophe Riedel, thank you so much for being here, producer and partner for Pandora Film Production out of Cologne. Thank you, all of you, for being here. And thank you all for taking the time for sitting with us this morning to not only discover what Torino Film Lab is up to right now, but also to entertain this idea and to support this idea of bringing comedy in a new way, which I find fascinating, to kind of the European market, which is not something that's very common. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they're up to and how they're going to give it to us. This is not about me, but I do want to make it just a brief introduction of why I'm sitting here. I basically have the most ridiculous career possible. I've been in front of the camera for many years, behind the camera, acting, directing, producing, writing. I've been in everything from $80 million budget films to, yes, wait for it, Mexican telenovelas. I did Mexican telenovelas for a couple of years, so I win the award for comedy, and nobody can take that away from me. I was even a character called, it was Orlando de la Riva Rubalcaba de la Peña, thank you very much. And if any of you can repeat that without smiling, I completely dare you to. So when I get the phone call to do this, it's obviously an honor. I've been collaborating with Torino Film Lab in several of their programs over the years. And just as an introduction to why Torino Film Lab is so important to me, I mean, I'm sure most of you know what Torino Film Lab is and what they do, and how important they are within the fiber of independent filmmaking in Europe and around the world. I got a phone. I was living in Shanghai in 2013, and out of the blue, I got a phone call, like we all do, saying, would you like to be on the jury for Torino Film Lab's Feature Lab? I thought about it and said I was busy, obviously. So now I immediately said yes, came over. And I was hit in the face by a world, not that I didn't expect, but the quality control of the world that I was entering absolutely blew my mind. So I walked into the room on that jury panel the first day, and I'm sitting there with Eva Pushinska, Ada Salomon, Thanos Anastopoulos, and myself, thinking, what am I doing here? Like, some of the most important worldwide producers, not just European, are sitting in this room, and I have to give my opinion and fight for what I believe in this jury. And not only that, the films and the filmmakers that we were having to, you know, discuss and see their films and decide who was going to get a grant, we gave four grants that year. One was to Julia Ducarnot, which at that time we were doing Grave. And I think you all know her because she actually won the, you know, Palme d'Or a couple of years ago for Titan. Another one was Fernando Guzzoni, who with his latest film won, I think it was, yeah, last year, he won Best Screenplay at Horizonte. Yael Karam from Israel with her film Mountain. and Ralitza Petrova for Godless, which is an amazing film and won over like 20 awards worldwide. So when you come into touch with that much talent from the experts and the jury all the way down to the creators that Torino Film Lab are supporting, there's a vision and there's a quality control that I believe as creators and as filmmakers and as people who are, you know, storytellers, not only want to be a part of, but should be a part of, because it just makes us better at who, you know, who we are and the art that we make. So I will forever be thankful to Torino Film Lab for what they've given to me as a creator and as a part of this world, and also for just letting me play, you know, as part of this. But that's enough about me. Just remember, Orlando de la Riva de la Peña Rubalcaba. If you have any questions, you can talk to me after. So, I, you know, let's kick this off a little. I wanted this to be like a kind of a relaxed conversation because that's what it is. I mean, we're colleagues. This is not about trying to, you know, tell anybody what comedy is all about. Comedy is just so vast. It's a difficult thing to try to pinpoint. So I'll just ask you, define comedy now. So, just to make her sweat a little. Mercedes, how are you?
Very well.
Very well. So before we get into like the questions, I really want to know on a personal level, what makes you laugh?
You.
Yeah, okay.
Also Thomas.
Also Thomas, exactly.
Not me.
not Christophe.
France, Germany.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the unexpected, mm-hmm. mostly, that's what makes me laugh. To be honest, this thing about comedy, we've been thinking about it for some time. But at the beginning, you know, we are working with independent cinema, so it's like comedy, independent cinema. Mm-hmm. And then, first, we need it, I think. Yeah. We need to laugh. And I also think there is a potential there about comedy that we want to explore. Mm-hmm. So just to be clear, we don't have any answer about comedy. What we want to do is to explore, and we want to explore the potential of it together with the professionals. So it will not be about teaching, but really about working together.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Love it.
Oh, Thomas. What makes you laugh, my friend?
I have heard that I have a very special laughter. My kids keep on blaming me for that. Anyhow, what makes me laugh? Life in itself, because the world is in such a direct state, we are bound to keep on laughing if we want to survive. And there's a French saying that goes, one has to laugh 3 minutes a day. Especially in a movie festival, I've been working in this crazy industry for way too long. I had hair when I started. And to laugh during festivals is so rare, especially Venice, Cannes, Berlinale, whatever. Mm. We all think we're doing important jobs, making movies, cinema is a serious matter, blah, 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 blah. And we forget sometimes, that, or very often actually, that cinema is here to provide us with emotions, as there's no greater feelings than to share said emotion with a huge crowd in a theater, and how to share it, laughter, crying. Those are very basic human needs, and it goes against the epitome of the French intellectual snobbish that I am, but comedy is the master of cinema.
Yeah, beautiful. And now, Christophe, go for it. What makes you laugh? I'm waiting for this answer.
Well, I'm German, so I don't laugh that often. I mean, we have this... We have this joke in Germany, what is the thinnest book in the world? It's 1,000 years of German humor. Did you know? But I try my best. In movies, I often laugh at parts where nobody laughs. Mm. For example, I just remember the first film of the Coen brothers when I was very young, Blood Simple. Mm. There is this scene when the one guy is alive and the other guy is putting him in a grave. I was laughing very, very loud for a long time, and nobody else in the cinema.
And the crowd was getting uncomfortable.
So, yeah, people were uncomfortable around me. So, that seems to be my kind of humor.
Okay, good. So we're all kind of on the same page as far as that concerned. So Mercedes, why now? Why not? Why? I mean, okay, we have Torino Film Lab next, TFL Extended, the Red Sea Lodge, Series Lab Talents, Series Lab, Feature Lab, Script Lab and Story Editing, TFL Italia, Green Film Lab. I mean, Did you really need something else? Like, you need something else on your plate?
Yeah, you know, we thought we had not enough activity, so exactly. We thought we could use another one. Uh-huh. And
now? Why specifically now?
Well, first, as I said before, because I think we are going through, you know, a moment where we really need it. But actually, we've been working on it already for 3 years. So we started with some pilot experiences with online formats, then with a longer format, residential. So this was useful for us to launch this program now, because we learned that really the community has very specific mechanisms, so it's a different development process for the films. So really you need a dedicated training. So then we said, okay, so let's launch something specific on comedy. And we decided to launch this program where we put together writers but also comedians, because the idea is...
Writers with comedians, not yeah. writers with... No, writers with comedians.
Quite
just
a
picture
bomb.
The room.
Comedians is writers.
Yeah, of course, but I mean...
Strange equation.
Exactly.
Not to be solved.
And as a curator, Thomas... This is where we come to the word curator. Because I'm curious to know what the curator is going to be curating during this series, this lab.
Okay, I'm curious myself. Honestly, I've been a buyer for 25 years, meaning this strange breed within the industry who think and who rightly so that we know better than the rest of the world because we set the trend. We buy the films. We decide what's good or not. On top of that, I'm French, hence even more snobbish, because basically French invented cinema. We all know that. And you all have to abide by that. Now, more realistically, I have no idea what I'm going to be curating. It just happens that comedy is the most prolific, interesting, from an industry perspective, genre into the world today. Every local market thrives with the local productions about comedies. Yeah. Having said that, comedy is looked upon by festivals, by the institutions, by the highbrow critics, because comedy is, it's just a comedy. Having been on sets, having tried to write a little when I was young before being a buyer, thankfully I became a buyer, to write comedies is even more difficult than to write a pure hardcore art house drama. As a buyer, I can say that. I've been reading scripts my whole life. To laugh while reading a script is so fucking rare. When it happens, you're like... And we don't know... There's no magic formula. There's no... It escapes schemes and mechanisms. It's so inventive. It's for example, again, Christoph, you'll pardon me my being so French, but when Tony Erdmann reached to Cannes, it was Marina Adel's second feature film, and her first feature was, you know, in Berlin, small release, French art house, can you do cinema, blah, 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 blah. And Tony Erdmann reached to Cannes, and Cannes, I love Cannes, it's a great festival, but you don't love in Cannes. Movie in competition or not
in competition, on the street maybe, yes, but not in the competition.
And Tony Erdmann reached to Cannes, and all of a sudden, a three-hour-long German film by a woman was a toast of Cannes, and everybody was laughing about it. French press was the laugh out loud experience of Cannes. And I was there, the screening was like, I didn't understand the laughter, but I laughed because the crowd was laughing, and it was an insane experience. Just an example to prove that comedy can come from wherever, and it's so difficult, so precise, so honestly, I'm going to discover it at the same time as we're making it. To be honest, when Torino Film Lab approached me, I said, Torino Film Lab and comedy in the same sentence. It's antinomic. One doesn't go along with the other. That's precisely the reason why we should try and make it happen.
And do you think it's because of a fear? A fear of judge being like, I mean, where does that fear come with the independent cinema and comedy and
yeah, because the saying was always that comedies don't travel, no?
Yeah.
I mean, in Germany, we have a huge... In the commercial market, we have big comedies, you know? We have a lot of genres that don't work anymore in cinema, but comedies work. But these comedies, they are really end at the border of Germany. You cannot watch them 5 minutes mm-hmm. into Belgium. Mm-hmm. They're not funny.
They don't translate.
No. Mm. I think they're not funny, but... yeah. So the interesting thing is to do... in this kind of Arthur's world we live in to make comedies who can be seen, like Tony Erdmann is a big example, of course, to do this, no? Which is very different from the mainstream world, I think.
And on this note, Christoph, you as a producer and with Pandora, you go more to, let's call it the straight-faced production, but you also have picked, I'm like leading into a little surprise that Christoph has brought for us, but you also have touched upon comedy. What tickles your fancy? Comedies. Or when is it you know that, I mean, more specific, like comedy, when is it that you know that that's the project you want to be involved with, or it's where your money...
Honestly, it's not that I was looking for the comedy came to me through the artists, I mean, through the directors. I mean, the case of the Argentinian film we speak about, and we show the trailer, I co-produced the film, the first film of the director, and another film, which is not really a comedy, but it's the film of Andreas Dresen, which took two bears last year in Berlinale. It's a very serious film about Guantanamo, a German Guantanamo inmate. But the film has also comic elements, and we chose for the main actress to be a real comedian. A comedian is an actor also, no?
Yeah.
Comedian. But a comedian is also, in Germany, a comedian is someone who is on stage making jokes, no? In English, it's both, or...?
It's all of the above.
Okay. So for that film, which is a serious matter, but it was linked on the real character of the mother, where we spend a lot of time with our writer, the real mother. We put the mother in the center of the film, because you cannot make a film about Guantanamo in this hole where he lived for 5 years. So we made a film about a mother not giving up against all circumstances, and the mother, she made it, it's a Turkish housewife from Bremen in the north of Germany, and she made it to the Supreme Court in the United States to get a trial, to get the boy out. And the real character was so strong and so funny, the real mother, although it was such a hard life for her, you know. So the film turned out also to be, had a lot of comedy parts, but it was just faithful to the real person. So that's why comedy came to me.
So on that note, should we launch the... Would you like to present the trailer of Buon? I think so.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm a German producer, but I always say I'm half Uruguayan. I'm very linked to Latin American cinema, so I'm constantly trying to co-produce or to help Latin American films. So this is one of them, the latest one, which will be in official competition in San Sebastian in 3 weeks. And it's founded by Torino Film Lab. I don't know when you read the script whether you thought it's a comedy or you...
Well, I cannot answer that question because it's another team who... Yeah. So I should call it back.
So there we were supported by Torino Film Lab, and that's why we...
I read the script.
Okay, you read the script.
When there was another French competition on board, I read the script. I had seen Benjamin's first feature, which you had produced. I read the script and I didn't laugh at all. I'm like, it's another Latin American drama, school, university teachers, and then change of French co-producer, and then when you introduced...
When you were out, it started to be more funny.
Yeah.
No.
He matured into comedy.
No, it's not.
No, but you'll see the trailer, and when I saw the trailer, I was like, what? I escaped. Yeah. The humor had escaped me by reading it because I had read the script with my preconceived...
But this is also why I think it's French so difficult ideas. To make comedies in writing that travel. I mean, in Argentina, maybe it was funny for them. I did it not because I thought it was funny. I did it because I wanted to follow the directors, and I knew I was fond of the idea of the film, you know? So, okay, we can see the trailer, and hopefully you laugh, or laugh a little bit just to do me a favor.
I'll tell you when to laugh exactly.
Just be nice to me.
El profesor de filosofía. Es un lujo, una eminencia. Desde que toma clase con usted, mi mamá está mucho más despierta.
Si me hubieran conocido hace 30 años atrás, dirían, ahí va Marcelo, el estudiante de filosofía, el de pelo largo. Me conocen ahora y dicen, ahí va Marcelo, el profesor de filosofía, el pelado. Bueno, ¿cuál de los dos Marcelos es Marcelo?
Gordo boludo, mirá cuando cruzás, por favor.
¿Gordo?
La cátedra necesita un titular.
Tenés que presentarte.
¿Y? ¿Qué?
No podemos abandonar la cátedra, sino más. Además, sabes perfectamente qué es lo que Eduardo hubiera querido.
Perdón, profesor, estaba en la masterclass.
¿Qué masterclass?
La del profesor Rafael Suharchuk, en el aula magna.
Me llamó la decana, que recibió un email de Rafael Suharchuk preguntando por las fechas del concurso.
Tiene un rival muy duro, Marcelo.
Weil Glückseligkeit nicht dein Ideal
¡Qué cara dura este tipo! Ella se quiere quedar con la cátedra. A veces uno se da cuenta que desea algo cuando otro se fija justamente en ese algo.
Pero no puedes desear una cosa solo porque otro también lo desea.
¿Viste que parece que está saliendo con Vera Mota? Es una bomba. Sale con Vera Mota, lo vi en la tele.
¿Y?
Te espero mañana a la mañana en el Café Sócrates.
No pienso ir.
Juan, no es un feudo por nosotros, así que...
¡Marcelo!
De cerca son las canciones de protesta y se vendió.
Qué compulsión que tienen ustedes, ¿no? De atarse a la facultad como si ahí se terminase el mundo.
El único lugar en el que soy algo es un Juan.
Transas.
Está de muy mal humor mi mamá, no va a soportar el show de filosofía.
¿Qué hago? ¿Me voy?
No, chistes filosóficos.
¿Chistes?
¿Canciones de filosofía?
Looking forward to that at the San Sebastian Film Festival. Bravissimo. I laughed, I have to say. I did. I laughed. So, Mercedes, what's the ambition for the Comedy Lab? Is there an ambition at this point?
There is an ambition.
To laugh while doing it.
Yeah, exactly. To have fun, I guess.
Exactly. That's the main ambition.
Okay.
So we are in the good, I would say, direction. Mm-hmm. And yeah, as I said, the ambition is really redefining comedy in, let's say, how it is seen in the independent cinema and exploring further potential of the genre and working on it, because we receive very few applications on comedy in Torino Film Lab. Every year we receive more than 500 applications, and comedy it's not there. So, because it's very difficult. So I think it's also important to work on it precisely because it's a difficult genre. It's very difficult to write comedy, and we are a writing lab. So we need to focus on that. There is no training for comedies in Europe. In US, you have
US and also the UK. Yeah. I mean, it's more part in UK. It's more part of like university courses, and it's a specialized course.
Yeah.
But the US, it's extremely common. And yeah, doing the research in Europe, it's not
There's
that common at all.
There.
The comedy writing.
Yeah.
Labs.
So it's also answering a need that we think is there.
And now, I mean, I want to touch upon this because to me, it's really, really important, especially as a creator. Without this becoming all about 2003 and in sensitivities and what comedy has become, or what the censorship, if you want to call it that,
self-imposed censorship.
The what?
Self-imposed censorship.
All across the board, as far as self-imposed, as imposed by others, and is what makes me laugh may trigger somebody else, sensitivities. How, I mean, Christophe and Thomas, as producers, how do you navigate those waters without falling into the trap of saying, okay, well, I really like this, but I don't know if I'm going to do it because it may hurt sensibilities? Or do you just say, you know what, screw it, I'm going for it because I believe in what it's happening? I mean, how does that work? Because I know in the U.S. it's become a huge issue as far as, you have to take into consideration every element in the script before you actually say, okay, I'm coming on board. So if there's a white protagonist, there has to be a minority in the cast, there has to be somebody with a physical impairment, there has to be somebody from the LGBTQ community. But, I mean, it's very down to the wire. So I don't know how intense it is here in Europe, but how do you navigate those waters without, falling into the trap of, okay, I'll do it because it's kind of safe?
Yeah, but that's precisely, you nailed it, because if we are lacking big American comedies, come on, I grew up in front of, the Farrelly Brothers, American Pie, and those gross laugh out loud comedies, and they no longer make them. Because, as you said, sensitive issues, and it's problematic, and we all know how comedy, by the very definition, just like genre cinema is a very political genre of cinema, because comedy is a reflection of society. The best Italian comedies from the 60s, the 70s, were talking about society, about money, about social classes, and so on and so forth. And laughter is never as strong as when you tackle a huge subject. And it's true that in today's world, which tends to be very much political correctness, is a big defect, and is a big defect about comedy. That's why it's been a long time since... when was the last time you laughed out loud in front of a movie in a theater? Apart from your local German, French, Uruguayan, whatever comedy. And when was the last time... I watched American Pie, I was 18. We saw it 5 times in a movie theater with all my friends. And I don't know, it's typical counterexample. But it's true that today's world, with sensitivity issues and far too much political correctness, a huge French comedian, Coluche, whom you've never heard of, which used to be a huge star in France, you look at his sketches, his humor from the early 80s, you wouldn't be able to broadcast them on TV today because of sensitivity issues. Actually, Pierre Desproges, another French comedian, very famous, said, you can laugh about anything, but not with everybody. And this political correctness is killing comedy. That's why we no longer make them. And I think it's one of our issues, is to be able to aim for the jugular, go for where it hurts, because if it tackles a sensitive subject, it proves it will... bring some humanity out of the characters, out of the story, and comedy is all about humanity and making love, having us laugh with the characters, not at their expense.
I agree. We are in a transition period where we, about a lot of things, we are right to question them and to think more about them. But so far, like when you have a clock, the clock goes far towards in a direction, and all these cultural appropriation arguments, it's killing this kind of things, no? And it's so we really have to, we as producers, because we are, it's difficult when you do an art house film, you have to please 6, 7, 8 juries, readers, commissions, who are all different, and especially with a comedy, when you all want to please them and all you evade this kind of, when you think it's cultural appropriation, you're dead. So as a producer, you really have to fight for it, and it's not easy. I mean, in Germany, we have a big discussion there, and we have problems. So, this should be an optimistic morning panel, but maybe we are not in the best moment to start our comedy thing when, because we are so scared of doing something wrong that we are in the danger to forget how to laugh. No, and yeah.
Which I think is fundamental. I mean, I don't know, Mercedes, if you guys have seen this across the board with all of your labs in general, that there's a conscientious take on what we can write about, what we can touch upon. I mean, it's not just comedy, obviously, but comedy depends on laughing at ourselves. And if we can't do that because laughing at ourselves has become a taboo or it's become offensive to others, then... I mean, I personally think that's why your Comedy Lab is so important right now, because we have to get back to understanding that we're laughing together. Like, I had an experience actually yesterday morning, like or dislike Yorgos Lanthimos. It's been a long time since I've sat in a theater with that many people and in unison, not laughing, like hilariously bending over and cracking up. And it's not an easy movie. I mean, there are subject matters where, you know, you're the first like 20 minutes and 30 minutes in, I was thinking, oh, Jesus, we're going to have a lot of people pissed off on this one. And then all of a sudden it takes a turn and you're like, oh, okay, I get it. It's going somewhere else. And female, male, younger, older, everybody was laughing like clockwork at what was happening. Okay, it's Yorgos Lanthimos. Everybody was hoping for the film. So you're much more open to what is happening. But an experience like that is not only necessary, I think it's humanly paramount for us to continue on as human beings. And like I say, whether you like Yorgos or you don't, it's the experience of all of us sitting together and seeing something like that and being able to find the humor within the tragic and to be able to see ourselves reflected in sometimes such drastic situations. No, and there's nothing wrong with laughing about it. There's nothing wrong with collectively finding humor in that or finding release in the laughter that we have sometimes, because that's also an amazingly, you know, way to let off the steam and, oh, this is getting too close to home, so I'll, you know, it's just like I'll just get it out there and now I feel better. But it seemed like everybody in the film, in the sala was like needed to get it out. Yeah. So it was even more, and you could feel the need. So I appreciate the fact that right now you're tapping into something that we need.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Because then I think that this is the power of comedy, you know? I mean, all genres in cinema reflect society and everything, but the power of comedy is that it puts some distance and then you can tackle some issues and you can laugh about yourself, which is very important, right? About your humanity, your weaknesses, your fragile parts. And so, come on. So let's not take it so seriously. So that's it. Then this, of course, this issue about, you know, not offend, that will be something that I am sure we will come out during the program. We will have to deal with it. And it's good that we deal with it. I mean, it's good that we have a conversation about that. So it's yeah, fine. But of course, it will be something that will be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I was wrong 5 minutes ago, now that I think about it. No, really. I mean, honestly, not to laugh. It's because we need to define these kind of things, what we think is not appropriate, what we think is appropriate. We need to discuss this and we need to find the right angle, and this a lab like this can help to do that, no?
Yeah. Totally.
So it's not only to write the most funny dialogues, it's also to for us to give a definition of what we think cultural appropriation stops and where it's important and where it's not.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Thomas, as curator? Are you taking notes?
I'm taking mental notes. I'm trying to think of a joke, and I ran out of my... I miss my youngest son. He would crack a lousy 5-year-old's joke, and we would all be laughing out loud. But no, I agree with Christoph. But in terms of cultural appropriation, I think comedy has shown us ever since the beginning of time. Like Charles Chaplin, still regarded, thankfully so, as was the king of comedy, made us laugh about the worst subject ever. I don't know. The Dictator is a laugh out loud comedy, and it still works. I'm saying that because when I showed it to my sons, they were laughing their asses off, and it's still working today. And that's the beauty of comedy, because we wouldn't be able to do it today. And when was the last time you saw a political comedy? When was the last time you saw a comedy? And you were right, Christoph. Local comedies tend not to travel. Big French comedies, big German comedies, you know, gross humor. Still, when you have one that is able to cross frontiers, laughter is international. And in today's marketplace, talking from an industry perspective, it's very interesting. For example, the Italian movie Perfetto Desconosciuti, there's been 20 remakes the world over. It was the first Lebanese film from Netflix. It was remade in the US, in the Soviet Union. It was remade in Korea, the world over. And it says so much about the subject, about the themes that the movie tackles. Having said that, there was a French remake, yet the original was never released theatrically in France. That's also a matter of the form of the comedy. We all know how it's about rhythm, how it's about... And I think the only good thing that comes with platforms is the internationalization of a certain... of world cinema, in the sense that foreign audiences get used to watching, I don't know, Casa de Papel in France, Spanish TV series, Spanish classes skyrocketed in France. So the advantage of platforms is to enable us to entice the audience to be more savvy about world cinema. And I think, for me, my buyer's perspective, if a couple of projects come out of the lab and manage to cross frontiers and reach out and have releases in foreign countries and encounter their audience, that would be, I would be a proud father.
Love it, a proud father. Yeah, no, true. That's what it has to be.
And I think that's also very interesting to get to know humorism of other nationalities. For example, Nordic sense of humor. So that's also a process which is, for me, I mean, it's, they laugh about that. That's actually funny. So that's also something very interesting, I think.
Yeah, because it is. It's very much also culturally and geographically. You know, what makes people laugh? And I love that you take Scandinavia as an example, because I have dear friends in Iceland that crack jokes, and I just sit there and I'm like, you have to let me know when the punchline hits, because I don't get it, you know? And they're all like, ha! So, yeah, I mean, it is. It's fundamental to get this conversation back. And more than anything, I think, you know, to continue to feed confidence in writers, to take that risk, to be able to write from a point of view where they can, you know, literally make fun of themselves, make fun of where they live, where they grew up, families, family dynamics. Jesus, there's so much you could write about family dynamics that is so universal. So to kind of like regain that confidence as creators to say, you know what, go in there. I'm going to go there. And I think that's what Yorgos managed in his role. He just went there. And I think everybody went along for the ride. Okay, that all said, I just want to go, if possible. I know we're talking kind of out here right now. But a little more specifics about the Comedy Lab itself. Like, what do you have in mind? How long does it last if we have this kind of information? Is it going to be many teams? Is it just feature film, or are we talking also series? Are we talking, I mean, what is it at this point that you have in mind? And Christoph, feel free to jump in at any time to tell them what they should have in mind. Merci.
Just a quick thing. Go. I'm snobbish. Only cinema. Series is something else. It's
okay.
Another way of writing. I love TV series.
But that's why it threw it out there.
I love TV series. But it's I'm French. I'm bound to be snobbish.
Good. No, but it's important to know, you know, the details of where we're going with this.
Yeah. So, yes, as he says, it will be on films. And let's say that the specific thing about this program, there are two specific things about it. First, that we will put together the two, let's say, professional profiles totally different. So the writers who have all the skills to develop a script, but then people coming from comedy, meaning stand-up comedians, people who write for podcasts, so any kind of comedic format. And we call them in to help us to work with the comedic mechanisms, because they are very specific mechanisms. We learned this during these 3 years. So this is the first point of the program. The second one is, because it's a very specific development process, we decided to do a highly customized program, meaning, what does it mean? It means maximum four projects.
Okay, so four projects. So it's
maximum,
like tailor-made for each one of them.
Super tailor-made.
Love it.
So every project will have a script tutor that follows the project during the whole year. We will have 3 workshops residential during the whole year. At the end of the workshops, they will meet the industry. Ideally, they will develop a first draft of the script. But before this, we will have a preparatory workshop where basically we will not work, we will play. So we will put together around 10 people, comedians and writers, and they will have a facilitator. They will work together in a series of activities, because we want to see if there are some matches there that work. Maybe one writer, we see that there is a feeling with a comedian, and then they work together on the project of the writer. So the idea is really also exploring the potential of the people, not only the projects, but also who really has this, no, this kind of energy and wants to go for it.
I love that. Is the call going to be like writer brings own comedian? Are you going to have like a roster of comedians that you work with? You're going to specifically find the comedian that's going to work? I mean, do you have any kind of concept right now in mind of how that's going to play out? No.
Nope. No, but honestly, it's the first time. It's we're popping about cherry, and that's the beauty of it. As every first time, you discover it as you make it, and it's the idea to have comedians. And I'm thinking writers will come on there on their side, and comedians, and as Mercedes so well underlined, it's going to be comedians, but also stand-up, or could be a writer about podcasts. And it's to be open-minded, to broaden the spectrum, like in Mommy, to go from fur to CinemaScope, so as to encompass the huge variety and diversity for all types of comedy. Some people have a comedic talent. They know how to write. They know how to crack a joke. But then it's to see how it matches in between a writer and a comedian, someone who has this inner rhythm, because we all know comedy is about rhythm and comedy is about editing. Right. So it's going to be, as you were saying, the first preparatory workshop, it's going to be playing. We're going to be playing with them. And I hope we're all going to enjoy ourselves, because it's about making it so that, you know, laughter, we don't all have the same sense of humor. But if we manage to make it so that, whoa, I understand why this...
He looked at you, Christoph. Did you see that? He's like, we don't all have the same
sense. No, you know, come on, I'm playing the French-German thing. I'm here to do that. That's the basis of this. But it's true. It's when you have something that works, and it's the link in between writers and comedians. It's been done before, but I think the idea is to push it further down the line with improvisation. Yeah. Writers should try to be comedians. Comedians should try to write. Just as you mentioned it in your career, you've done everything. Yeah. Yeah. And the idea for this workshop is to be a melting pot of emotions, so as to unravel the sheer sense of humor within each other.
That was poetic, my friend. That was really... unravel the sense... What was it? Was that good or what? You worked on that for months already, just to throw it out there. Christoph, would this work in Cologne? Do you think?
You know that within Germany, we are regarded as the most funny people. So imagine Berlin. I mean, it's like...
Köln is like Köln the center
we are,
of like...
We're the half French, they call us in Germany. It's much worse. So Maren Ade, she's from the south of Germany. She's not from Berlin. I mean,
there you go.
They have a very different kind of humor in Berlin, I can tell you.
So as if comedy was not a serious matter, how did we come up with that title and what is it we're trying to underline there? Either curator or director or...
The title actually came from you, right? Yeah, and then we did a little bit customized.
It just goes back to the fact that I've been surviving in this crazy industry 25 years. I've been a buyer, big little French leading independent company, whatever. Still, comedy is looked upon. No one brags about. You go to a movie school or university. Never. I have no students. I want to make comedies. No. I want to make a pure hardcore drama. Talk about my personal life. I want to win an Academy Award. I want to win a Palme d'Or. There's been three comedies who won Palme d'Ors over the last 60 years. Comedies who won Golden Bear, even less. Comedies who won Golden Lion, even less. No one brags about making comedies yet. We all need comedies. We need to laugh. That's one of basic need, to eat, to drink, and the rest. I'll be polite. I'll be sensitive.
Don't censor yourself. Don't censor yourself. Get it out.
No, but say, as if comedy was not a serious matter. It's like it's like the line in Doctor Strangelove. Gentlemen, you don't fight in the war room. It's the same about cinema. Cinema is snobbish by itself, especially independent cinema, because as Christoph so well underlined, you have committees, you have politics, blah, 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 blah. Come on, to have an audience laughing in a theater is the best feeling ever, and to share that feeling. And it's tough to make a comedy, but it's looked upon, not well regarded, not well recompensated in festivals. So let's make it happen. Let's try and change something. Let's have fun while going. We all have fun going to festivals. We enjoy being in Venice. I love going to Cannes. I'm biased. I love Cannes, but I love Berlinale. But still, they're lacking comedies.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Chaplin never won an Academy Award. Come on, and it should be. And not an honorary one. It should be, comedies should thrive on the international stage with the awards, with the press, with the critics. Look at the reviews on comedies. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I've been going to press screenings in Paris, and you have the most intellectual highbrow critics, you know, French. They're even snobbish on myself. And they're like, they laugh their asses off during the screening, and as they come out, they're, one star, come on, can do better. It's like a TV telenovela. They say it's TV. No, it's comedy. It's tough to make some people laugh. It's tougher than to make pure hardcore drama.
Yeah, and not to give the laughing only to the mainstream cinema. I mean, that's...
Exactly.
Laughter can be intelligent. Huh? Yeah. Laughter has to be intelligent and sexy.
No, I mean, the title itself is just so, like I was saying before, is so actual. It's so today. Because it's not a serious matter, and yet it is. To, like, recapture creators and give, like, allowing them to... permit themselves again to make fun of themselves and to understand that being part of a creator is being able to have that release and being able to, you know, dissect your geographical region, your historical background, the social fibers of your surroundings, and being able to find that release within that. So it is, you know, as if comedy was not a serious matter, is very 2023. And I think it's a perfect title to present what for me I think is a very important lab. So I applaud the premise of it, and I applaud the possibilities that can come out of it. I don't know if there's anything else that you feel that you want to underline about the lab itself, the structure of it.
I think we said everything, but I just wanted to say that we will launch the call for applications at the end of October. So if anyone of you are interested, that I am sure you are, please apply.
Dun, dun. Thomas, anything you want to add to...
And Thomas, you have to invite at least one German.
It's obligatory.
I'd love it.
I'm not going to do that.
And I hope we won't have too many French projects. No, we won't.
You can't censor it like that. You got to go. You get what comes. So Torino Film Lab grows with this, and this is your next step. So you're going into something big.
Quite big. Yeah.
Biggest fear.
Okay.
Is that fair to ask?
No. The biggest fear is, I think, not making the project don't make you laugh. I think this is the two. That's one. The other possibility is to be superficial. So you need to find the balance between making laugh but not being superficial. So I guess that's the fear, the challenge.
Exactly. And also, I mean, one of the key words that we talked about from the beginning of starting this was, like, accessible.
Yeah.
No, and making comedy accessible to a wider group of people.
Yeah.
Like Christophe was touching upon about, you know, it doesn't cross borders in a way. Finding a way to make it tickle people's fancies all over the place in a very kind of universal manner.
Yeah, and I think in some way it puts together two worlds that at the moment don't dialogue that much, which is independent cinema and theater and large audiences. So I think this could be also kind of a bridge between these two sides of the industry. So I think that's also interesting to explore.
No fears, Thomas, I'm guessing.
To have an extinction of my voice by laughing too much or too loudly.
That's a fear. I think that would be amazing. That is exactly what we need. Because you guys haven't heard his laugh in the full potential of his laugh. I have had the pleasure of hearing it once or twice. And, I mean, we could basically just sit him up on stage and have him laugh. And you'd have the entire audience, like, going off with him. We do hope that laugh continues and continues really loud. Christophe, anything you'd like to add? I mean, I think, you know, thank you for being here and thank you for giving us, an input as...
No, also to have a discussion within different countries about this, what means cultural appropriation in Europe and what is where we should be sensitive and where we should defend also the freedom of art or the freedom of
doing things, no? Not to be too shy or not to be too much in a corner and not to, because then we cannot do art. I mean, especially in cinema, because it's an expensive art form and we need to please so many juries, as I said before, it's very important that we find a position. Otherwise, we weaken the project. I mean, we put everything away which could provoke someone, and then we won't be able to make movies, and especially we won't be able to make funny movies.
I have a question, just this thing about the juries. Do you think about juries before the film goes out?
No, I need juries to finance the films.
Of course.
In Germany, you have to please different juries, and of course not. I mean, no, that would be the worst. But you have to play around, and I'm doing this for 20 years, and I have an experience. What tackles which juries, and what has problems with which juries?
Yeah. You have to be aware.
And but this is a more specific discussion. I think we have to give to these juries, we have to give them more guidelines. I mean, in Germany, we have juries where everybody's sitting there and says, oh, yeah, my uncle, he saw the last film of the director and he didn't like it. You know, so.
That's a good criteria. Really good criteria.
No, but to have juries, it's very, curators, it's very important in art. But we have to, also, it's also kind of a training, or I think the who gives the money should give its juries a guideline. That's, for me, it's a fundamental thing. I mean, and that's not always the case.
Is there anything anybody else would like to add before I just thank you all for being here? I can't believe we did this. It's like, I thought I needed like 5 hours, and I've been like looking at the stopwatch now, and I'm like, we have 3 minutes left. I actually was able to like condense it all into like an hour. But no, I mean, it's really, really enlightening, and it's exciting to know that this is coming. Like I said, I mean, doing the research and kind of knowing this is very much other markets type thing, and we don't see it enough in Europe, and we don't see an understanding and a sensitivity on behalf of the people that make and shake behind the scenes. So to have the support of an institution now like Torino Film Lab, and that is pushing forward a dialogue which is fundamental, like I said, I think it's paramount in 2023. If we don't learn to laugh at ourselves and we don't learn to laugh at life in general, I mean, we've had some tough years, you know? So you don't want to sit around and ponder it 24 hours a day. I mean, obviously, you can't laugh everything off. But if we can laugh together, and I mean, this idea of getting people from different parts of the world, putting them together, tailor-made, which is, I think is beautiful as far as an opportunity, to have that opportunity to work like with you guys and having that backing and having the comedian there and the writer and put everyone together, I mean, it can only be you know, ingredients for yet another success for Torino Film Lab. And I listed them all, what they're up to up until this point, so... I mean, I don't think I need to say good luck or anything because, yeah, I think it's going to be another... You will continue laughing for quite a bit, my friend. That laughter will continue to keep us going for quite a bit. So thank you so much. Thank you all of you for being here.
Thanks, Alex.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.